The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Certainly does.
The soul of Jefferson.
The soul of Jefferson. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler.
And Wynn Carpenter. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. We're broadcasting live here in Jefferson State of Mind from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
So you don't, if you're not able to listen to this program when it initially airs, you can listen to it anytime on our archive. Just go to the programming, to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E.
And it's great for insomnia. Just
you
know, say it.
Sally says you're supposed to count from 99 backwards and think about each number.
Think about each number.
And I tried it. It didn't work. It
didn't work?
No.
That sounds like a test they do for intoxicated drivers.
Yeah. Oh, you count? Well, I can count it.
Count backwards.
But it doesn't put me to sleep.
Oh.
Count backwards from 95 and end at 47. Yeah. Not that I would know.
I get all the way through it. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, first thing we'd like to do is thank the people that make this possible. Jones Fort at 1600 East Cypress Street, and that is in Suite 2. Wonderful people. All your firearms needs. Great community people. I really have to say something about Jackie. She has been amazing when it comes to talking to the ladies about what firearm would be best for them and that kind of thing. Just a really great group of people. They do safety classes. They do CCW classes. They can help with regulations, gun transfers, you name it. Marshall, Patrick, and Jackie, just wonderful, wonderful people. And if you want to get a hold of them, you can go to, again, 1600 East Cypress Street, Suite 2, or you can call 530-222-3223, 530-222-3223. And this weekend, coming on Saturday, the 29th, there's going to be a Shasta Sports and Trading Card Show. Now they're going to be having baseball cards, football cards, basketball cards, memorabilia, all kinds of fun stuff, and I believe they have comics and things like that also, so it's really going to be a very fun show. Dad, take your kids. It'd be a lot of fun. It's at 1830 Hilltop Drive at the Red Lion Inn. That's the Red Lion Inn at 1830 Hilltop Drive in Redding, California. It starts at 10 a.m., goes to 5 p.m., and for more information, you can contact Nick at 530-215-1882. That's 530-215-1882. It is free admission, and there'll be free cards for the kids.
Ooh, so sweet.
Something fun to do. Anyway, we are here today, and Janet has some really neat things to talk about here. Today is a very special day for maybe our most, at least in the top five, special patriot. That was Patrick Henry. And Janet, do you want to go ahead and give us a little bit of that information?
This is from a book, Compliments of Mort Gesicki, who gave this to me. Today is one of those moments in history. On March 23rd, 1775, which is exactly 250 years ago, Patrick Henry gave a very famous speech at St. John's Church. I have absolutely no confidence that many of the people in this country even know what I'm talking about, but I think our audience probably does.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the midst of separating from England, or at least trying to make peace with England. And it was Patrick Henry who finally stood up and said, excuse me, we must fight. There is no way that we can have, excuse me.
Got a frog in the throat.
It came and took up residence, yes.
Kermit, go away.
Yes, exactly. Or I could be Miss Piggy, one or the other.
You have a piggy.
What, did you have bacon? You had bacon this morning?
Right. I wish I could blame it on that.
We digress. Yes. We digress.
We always digress.
He did say, among other things, the battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, and the brave. And we have to realize that right now we are in a battle. We are in a battle against progressivism, against world globalism. We are in a battle for the soul of not just our state of Jefferson, but the soul of our country. And we are supporting one of our finest vigilant soldiers, and that is Donald Trump, who is trying to make sure that we do win this war because we are on the side of God. One of the most famous paragraphs of Patrick Henry's speech that day: "It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death."
You know, where are we at with California? Where are we at with California, folks?
Gosh. All over the place, if you ask, look at Gavin Newsom. I mean, after passing laws that say women and men are the same and we all have to...
Whenever you decide your gender is different, it is.
Then he goes on his podcast and agrees that, oh, no, it's just unfair for men to be on women's sports teams. Where is this man? I don't know. You're looking for a new style of hair gel or something.
Well, maybe that's what's affecting his brain, all that hair gel that he's been putting in over the years.
It has soaked in. It has prevented common sense from infiltrating. But actually, Gavin Newsom is irrelevant because he's going to leave office in 2026. Well, 2027 in January. He's not up for re-election. He's termed out. So we can't blame Gavin Newsom for what has happened to California. The only blame lies with the voters of California. We have a republic, a representative republic, and they voted him in.
Oh, wait, we don't have a democracy?
Oh, I forgot that. Shoot.
You must not be listening to Sean Hannity.
I know. Democracy, democracy.
By the way, if you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567.
So 22 months is when Newsom is walking out of office, so supposedly. We'll wait and see, right?
Well, but who's going to replace him,
Right. So 22 months more of this torture that we have to endure.
Maybe. But see, he's running for president now. But I want to just draw we keep hearing about democracy, democracy. Demos krasi, the rule of the people, is what democracy is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a republic, the thing of the people, and the thing of the people, res publica, is rule of law. That's our thing. So rather than rule of the people, we have rule of the law. Therefore, we do not have a democracy.
Well, I know I was told by our Congressman Doug LaMalfa that even a Republican governor wouldn't help us. Again, we're 63-13, in the assembly because four Republicans vote with Democrats, and we are 33-7.
Well, they have the power of veto. He could veto everything left, right, and center.
And then they can, and you can overcome the veto.
Didn't we overcome
the veto just like Congress can?
Didn't we just get a Republican elected to the assembly or something in some special election? I don't know.
Did it take a Democrat seat, or did it just replace another assembly?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Republican?
We have a couple of people on the line. We have Laura and we have Andrew. I don't know who was first, but
Andrew's here.
Andrew. Oh. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Janet, you're wrong. The only time you've ever been wrong.
Fie upon you, Andrew.
No. This is my feeling. The electronic tabulators and voting machines is what's ruined this country. We no longer have a free, unencumbered vote. And I honestly believe that. We've been a conservative state and always have been, and are in fact now we are still. We have to get rid of these. We need, you know this, I know this is what we want. ID for voting, one-day voting, in-person voting, and check the bona fides of the voter. That's where I'm going to disagree with you.
I agree totally. Where are we disagreeing?
You said the voters voted the people in. They did not.
Oh, I get you. Yes, I agree. The electronic machines and processing has made it possible for cheating and corruption.
For the criminals to do the cheating and corruption. Yes.
Exactly. So you're not wrong after all.
You know, Andrew, and also there is a selection process. We had Wally Herger, who handed the ball to Doug LaMalfa, who will hand the ball to James Gallagher. So we have a lot of different processes here, and the only way we can solve this problem in California is to break up the state and have a constitution that's not complicated, and we have constitutional oversight, which we'll get into in a little bit. Janet's going to get into that in a little bit.
Right. Okay, remember when Obama said there were 57 states?
Yeah.
He was just a curve, that's all.
He's totally ignorant. I mean, we keep talking about how bad Biden was as a non-president, but Obama was just as ignorant.
Oh, he was just ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Was he saying that Canada was already the 51st state? Is that what he was already implying? And we have others that we don't know about?
The Houses of Islam, and there are 57 of those. That's what he was referring to. He's not a Christian. The man is not. His wife is also a man, just so you know, Big Mike.
No arguments. Just ask Joan Rivers and then ask what happened to her when she made that public.
Oh, yeah, she died.
Yeah, I know. But if we do bring in Canada, there's going to be more than, it will be 57. We'll drop us into 53 states because one will say California, the poor SOBs who want to stay that. And then, you know, there's 40 million people, 30 million people in Canada. You've got to mix that up, too, you know. So we are going to have 57 states here in the near future, I think. Anyway.
Obama was just a seer, a foreteller of the future.
A seer? No, he was referring to the Houses of Islam.
Yes.
Make no mistake.
Yeah, you got it, brother.
But anyway, thank you, guys.
Good talking to you, brother.
Laura, are you still there?
Good morning, Laura. Are you there?
Laura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I had the exact same point as your previous caller. The voters did not vote Newsom in, and they did not vote to keep him during the recall. So I'm glad that your callers are on top of this. But I'd like to give you a quick update on as far as our charter initiative goes.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so if your listeners aren't already aware, the judge ruled that the county council was required by law to complete the title and summary for our charter initiative. That went forward on Wednesday, and then on Friday, the Board of Supervisors voted based on the judge's ruling to drop the lawsuit against us, which was a huge victory because, as I understood it, Joseph Larmer was contemplating extending that lawsuit and making a protracted legal battle. But instead of going forward in that direction, they made the right move and they dropped the lawsuit. And now we are actually moving forward. So by next week, we'll be gathering signatures. We have to get our petition published in the newspaper and formatted to accept signatures. And everything is moving forward as it should at this point. And we're looking forward to getting more people involved. We need local folks. We need people who've been involved in the past, or maybe they're new to this, because I believe that the way we're going to get our government back and our freedoms back, our liberty back, as Patrick Henry so described so very clearly for us, is by actively doing something, getting involved at the local level. So I think we need to start here in Shasta County. And this charter initiative is going to have voter ID hand counted at the precincts, results on election night, locally controlled voter roll databases, and you'll have to be a citizen in order to vote. And we feel like this is basically, it's not rocket science. It's taking it back to how we used to do things, you know, a few decades ago before they started using the machine. It's very simple. Anyone can do it. And we need a lot of participation from the public. So if you want to be involved, please visit our website, which is SaveShastaElections.org. And you may also call me directly. My phone number is 805-710-4905. And again, that's 805-710-4905. And again, we're welcome to involvement from anyone in the community who's passionate about this, who wants to restore our freedom here locally. So please give me a call.
Are you going to have a town hall or any kind of forum where you're going to invite the public in and maybe have that live streamed or something like that to get the word out to the public on that? Have you got anything planned for that yet?
You know, we'll probably do something like that in the next couple weeks once mm-hmm. we get our mm-hmm. petitions formatted, so it'll be like an opening party.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already done training for signature gathering and whatnot, and you could do training. You can sign up on that website as well to be a volunteer to collect signatures. So there's going to be more stuff coming up, and I'll let you know as that happens.
Hey, Laura, how many verified signatures do you have to have?
It's about 8,600, okay. But of course we're going to try to, that's with the buffer, and we'll probably get a little more than that as well.
Okay. And then what time frame do you have in that? How many days do you have to collect those signatures?
We have 180 days as of this Friday, which is when we received our title and summary from the county council. So that's, you know, approximately 6 months from now.
Okay, so you get all those, you get as many signatures as you need and more before that, then do you file it, or do you have to wait for that 180-day mark?
No, we would probably go ahead and file it if we got them quickly. And but there's also some other procedures. You know, they have, I believe, up to 90 days to review the signatures. And then there's another window of 100 and, or I believe it's 80 to 130 days where they have to wait before they put it on the next election. So we're looking at probably June 2026 to actually have it on our ballot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my last question. Okay, cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, seems like just about everything can be solved with the state split
we're proposing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to solve all of this. I do want to add one thing to Laura on the initiative that the Attorney General did the title and summary for, initiative number 1977, related to California's independence. They only need 546,651.
For the entire state?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't understand the discrepancy in numbers.
Well, that's why I was wondering. It says that's California, Constitution, Article 2, Section 8B, Elections Code Number 9035. And that was the minimum number that's required, 546,651. I've got it right here, and it's from the Secretary of State's office. So why do we need 8,000? Well, maybe somebody can call on and answer that.
Explain what you're looking at here. This is from Shirley Weber, right?
This is from Shirley Weber. What I'm looking at is...
And what did she have to do? She had to write a title and a summary.
No, she didn't. The Attorney General wrote
it. Well, somebody for the state had to write the title and the summary.
Which is what the county is doing.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing. The only thing I'm stating here is that why is it that the state, for a state initiative, only needs 546,651 people as required signatures, and Laura's saying we need 8,000?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But it says that basically this is under the California Constitution, Article 2, Section 8B, Elections Code Number 9035. And, you know, Laura, if you feel like you want to call back in, because we're trying to help things out here. I mean, you know, why would we need so many signatures for a state initiative? And this is what the state initiative says: requires a future vote on whether California should become an independent country.
Now that's certainly unconstitutional.
But he signed off on it. I mean, the title and summary was one issue; the initiative is another issue.
Exactly, right. That's what we were maintaining
the whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Two different animals.
So the idea of an initiative for the state needing almost 600,000 when we need almost 9,000. Somebody needs to call and explain that. 605-4567, 530-605-4567. Maybe, Rich, if you're out there, you can call us, because I'm trying to figure out why we need so many signatures. I'm trying to figure that
and
out.
And for the recall for Newsom, wasn't it over 1 million signatures required?
I don't remember.
But that number just seemed so low to me.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Anyway.
Maybe they're factoring in all the voters that have moved out of California, and that's what the numbers are based on for total of Californias. But then we still have, are we still holding our own here with our voters here in Shasta County? I mean, how many people have we lost? I don't know. Throughout the rest of the state, I'm sure, you know, numbers have dwindled big time, especially now. When did that state split or state?
What was the date of this?
Yeah.
January 23rd, 2025.
Okay,
and
so
then
it was around the fire time. LA's right. Been burned up. So guess what? They're factoring in that a lot of folks there have moved on. I don't know. It just makes you wonder. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm curious as to what is the basis? What's the formula?
Yeah.
What's the calculation on factoring that in
and
figuring it out?
Yeah.
Just so, you know, we, the third grade layman, can figure out what's going on and we can understand it.
I guess it's supposed to be based on prior elections and how many people voted, or is it on registered voters, or what? I don't know.
Or how many recalls you've
had
in the county.
Look up Article 2 and see, I mean, you know.
Well, and that's a county-wide thing that they're doing there.
Yes.
We had to do how many signatures for recall for each district? Didn't we have to do, like, oh, gosh, I can't remember the number now. And
a lot.
A lot. I'll be wrong, so I'm not going to say it. But it seemed like it was almost comparable to that number.
It was a high bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it just makes you wonder what the next step is going to be as far as who it is and whatnot. So we'll see. Hey, we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Good morning.
What say you?
Hey, if you want to go to sleep, you just say the Lord's Prayer. Every breath, every sentence can take one breath. And if you say the Lord's Prayer very slow with every breath in and out, you'll be asleep and you'll be at peace.
There you go.
And that is the problem with our world. The problem is people do not have the God self deep in their souls. In the simpler times of our forefathers, when they came up with the Constitution and they couldn't come up with the right words, or they kept squabbling with each other and everything, they turned to God, and then the answers started coming to them very, very swiftly. And, you know, in those simpler times, I think God meant a whole lot more to people back then than now, because 200, 300 years later, 250 years later, we've instigated so many institutions that bastardized the whole thing that it makes it really, really difficult which way to this or that, you know. So, and you all know what I'm talking about. But there's only one thing, one God, one Jesus Christ who gave us the Word of God. And it is so simple when you have that deep in your soul, deep, deep in your soul, and you're responsible to that. Every single moment of your day, every breath that you take, you're responsible to that self, that God self. It answers all the questions. There's only one way to be. There's only one way to act. And then we're all brothers and sisters to each other. It's, you know, but we've lost all that. And I think if we're going to start really, really preaching and pounding the pavement with things, we need to talk more about the power of God and the power of Jesus' word in our lives, because that's truly who we are and what we are. If without that, we're nothing.
I agree.
That's my two cents for today. Thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, I just received a text on that information on the questions we were asking, and it says for countywide charter amendment petition, it is 10% of the electorate that voted in the last gubernatorial election.
So what is it for a statewide initiative?
And they didn't say that.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Well, we know what we're being told. We want to know why.
Yeah.
This is different. Anyway, we probably should go off to our break, and then we'll come back. And Janice got the answer to this, I think, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay.
No.
You've got your constitution open. Yes. Anyway, we're going to hear what she has to say right after the break so we can go off to that. Okay, so again, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Okay.
Well. No, what I have is another.
Glowing Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
A cancer diagnosis comes with a lot of uncertainty, but where you receive your treatment should never be one of them. Many patients don't realize that they have a choice in their care. You don't have to leave Reading, and you don't have to settle for a rotating team of doctors who don't know your history. At Valor Oncology, you'll receive world-class cancer treatment with the same trusted team by your side every step of the way. Our Harvard-trained oncologist, leading female breast surgeon, and advanced technology rivaling top universities ensure that you get the best possible care right here at home. Tell your doctor you want to be referred to Valor Oncology because your treatment should be your choice. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Oh, yeah. Power to the people. Well, talking about power to the people, you know, there's a lot of things that can be solved by this four-state split and a lot of things that can be corrected by the state of Jefferson. One of them would be state versus county power. And I think that's been the issue we've ran into here, and a lot of people are. Huntington Beach, I guess, is at it again with this measure that they're going to want to do as far as the situation of the sanctuary city, sanctuary county position. That's a new one that they're at, and I think it's good. We have to learn to stand up. And Janet, give us a little bit of background on the state versus county power. Give us a little bit of background on that.
Part of the problem with California is that we're upside down. Where does the power of the people lie? And it's local. We come closest to a democracy when it comes to our local government. And so when we were writing the Constitution for the state of Jefferson, we were thinking, how do we return that power to the localities? So rather than have all the funds, all the power go to the state, why don't we have the county governments take that power and that fiscal responsibility? In California, the counties are already collecting property taxes. I'm not advocating them, but they're already collecting sales tax and property taxes, and then they send it to the state, and then the state takes off their share and sends it back to the counties. Why don't we just have it stay within the county in the first place? And then the county provides all of the services that the people need, and then they shift to the state that amount that they figure the state needs for its responsibilities. So rather than having the money shift back and forth, just keep it with the counties where it's closest to the people.
And that's a great point. And the counties right now, when we send all our money in, we get about 86% that is controlled by the state. We get about 14% of that back, 14 to 17%, depending on the county. That's for their discretionary spending. So you have discretionary spending and you have
mandated
spending, and the state controls most of that. So what Janet's saying is, why not reverse that? You know, and we'll give the state what they need to operate, and we won't have 500 or I don't even know, maybe 600. I don't even know how many agencies now, but we won't have all these agencies. We'll have, you know, maybe 20, and put the power back in the county. And I think that's kind of what they attempted to do in the California Constitution when they tried to make us legal subsidies. But as we've seen as a county, we're living through it. So is San Diego County now. So is, Orange County, et cetera, Riverside County. We're all living through this thing saying, hey, what about the power being in the people?
Mm-hmm.
I won't go into the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, and I'm not going to go into how that pushes the 10th Amendment along, but that's what really gave us the 10th Amendment. That was the inspiration for the 10th Amendment. But point being is that we need to have control at the county level. And, you know, it all really goes back to we the people and how we take that power back.
Well, first of all, the complexity of the California Constitution is something that we will never overcome, and that's a good reason to form our own state, just to get out from under the California Constitution. I am holding in my hands a little 46-page booklet that's entitled The Constitution of the United States, and it includes the Declaration of Independence and a bunch of quotations from people, and it's 46 pages long, and that includes an index. And on my other hand, I am holding the Constitution of California, and it is over 300 pages long, and it has things in it that have no reason to be in a constitution. It's talking about how your right to fish and how many fish you can take, and
the color of the school buses.
The color of the school buses.
Yeah.
Regulations on alcohol, and let's see. We have how to invest transportation funds and public improvement proceedings by chartered cities or counties, bond issues. It's all in our Constitution, and it shouldn't be. It should be statutory, not constitutional, and that's part of the problem. Our state is so bound up by what's in the Constitution. part of the problem is that you can form an initiative to amend the Constitution. And it's been done many times, and that is a very democratic way of doing things, but it does load up a constitution with things that don't need to be there.
Therefore, so, that's why it's so big.
That's, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, I was told we needed to go to the state website, and I did for, elections code 9035 to answer our question about, you know, why do we have so many required signatures or few or what have you? Well, it's 9035. It says, an initiative measure may be proposed by presenting to the Secretary of State a petition that sets forth the text of the proposed statute or amendment to the Constitution and is certified to have been signed by registered voters equal in number to 5% in the case of a statute and 8% in the case of an amendment to the Constitution of the voters of all candidates for governor in the last gubernatorial election preceding the issuance of the title and summary for the initiative measure by the Attorney General.
So 5 and 8% is certainly less than 10.
Correct.
And is this a constitutional amendment or is it a statute that they're looking for? Does it say in the...
It's the code.
No, I mean in your filing...
In the initiative.
Oh, in the initiative. Well,
is it a constitutional amendment or is it statutory?
It is. An initiative.
Yeah, but is it for a constitutional amendment
initiative
or statute?
Initiative 1977 related to California independence. That's what it says. And then it says pursuant to election code 9004.
But are they asking for a constitutional
9004C.
Amendment? If it's an amendment, it's 8%. If it's statute, it's 5%.
I don't know if they're asking for it. It doesn't say anything about a constitutional amendment. It says that they want to get on the – they want to leave. That's what it says. I mean, you know. We do have a caller on the line. Kay, how are you?
Hi, Terry. I hate to say this. It really pains me because I liked Prop 13. But prior to Prop 13 – The property tax money was distributed within the state, within the county. And there was somebody put that in there, and I don't think anybody realized that that was in there until after we voted for Prop 13.
Can I ask, Kay, this is for clarification. Take all the time you need, but this is for the clarification. You're saying that prior to Prop 13, the state of California couldn't get their hands on any of the money? Is that what you're saying? Because that's
there was a certain amount that they did send to them, but they didn't send the whole thing. Now after Prop 13, they send the whole thing to the state, and then the state decides what they need and send it back to the county.
Okay, so that still didn't quite answer my question.
Well, most property tax at the time went to support schools and public services.
Exactly.
And the rationale was that if we pool it, then the state can distribute it more equally so you don't have
Beverly Hills
High School spending $10,000 per student and Imperial Valley High School spending $5,000.
And so what I'm saying is that the state always had their fingers in it. When the state sends us back our money, or even before we sent it to them, they were still going to be 85 to 87%, probably less than, but that's what it is now, 85 to 87% of the money we send them, they mandate for us. And then we have that other money called discretionary spending, which is our 13% out of 14% out of our 100%.
They didn't used to mandate as much as they do now.
Well, that's because they weren't Democrats.
Yeah, you are absolutely right.
They were Republicans.
That was a problem with Prop 13.
Another thing, I did a lot. I started going down to Sacramento in 1970.
Right.
And that was about 4 years after, or 6 years after, they changed it from each county, except for the three small ones, having their own state senator.
Right,
right.
That was actually 1966 when they adopted that. That's right.
Well, but it didn't take effect.
No,
and
that's when they adopted it.
And
right.
It took about 20 or 30 years before it really kind of impacted. I mean, it was when I was down there, everybody was still a friend. And just because you disagreed with somebody, it didn't mean that you hated them, you know. And it was a lot different. And I think that it would help us out an awful lot if we went back to that. And I think we can still do that.
Go back to what exactly?
To each state or each county having a California senator.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I mean, I think in order to change, say, go to the state of Jefferson, I think there are incremental steps maybe that we have to take before we get to that point. Because if we could get each county, except for the little ones, to have one senator, then we would have representation.
That's absolutely true. The problem is that the Supreme Court, the federal Supreme Court, has ruled in that decision.
But they changed that.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. They changed that in about 2008.
And what decision did they make that changed it?
I can't remember the name of it, but they did change it, but we've not jumped on.
Well,
Clarence Thomas has said he would love to have a case come to him about that particular issue, and he wants to rule on it, and I think we would win in the Supreme Court.
But here's the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is that Los Angeles County themselves control 11 senators out of the 40, and four other ones have parts of Los Angeles County. What would compel, because remember, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, what would compel the legislature, especially in the county of Los Angeles, what would compel them to say, you know what, we only need one now, and we're going to give the other 14 away to other counties? What would compel them to do that? And the only way you can do that is through state legislature, because the state legislature has the jurisdiction, not the feds.
There is one way that we can get that, and that's through forming a new state.
State splits, that's right.
Well, or I don't know if we had an initiative that did that.
Well, it would have to be a state initiative, and
we're fixing to.
It's going to be very difficult to convince LA.
We're fixing to, yeah. You know, and that's why we have to, you know, see if they want theirs. We get ours, we got to see if they want theirs.
Well, keep in mind, everything south of the LA northern border, south of the northern border of LA, all the way to the Mexican border, is 51% of the population of California. No matter what you do, every day, that's where it's at. And there's no changing it, and that's where it's at. Even with the fire, the mass fire that's burned people out, it didn't burn enough people out. Their numbers are far superior to the rest of the state of California, north of L.A., all the way to the Oregon border.
It would take a lot bigger fire than that to burn everybody out.
You know,
okay, well, keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you,
Kay.
Good call, Kay. Thank
Bye-bye.
You so
thank
much.
You.
You know, and that's the thing, when you look at what, maybe somebody has an answer for this. I don't think anybody in this room does. And that is, when have you ever seen a willingness of a politician to give up power?
Never.
Oh, never.
Why would they give up power?
They're not going to. That's power. It comes with money and ability to do things that nobody else can do. Their electorate certainly can't do. They have the power to do whatever they want.
And whether you're Republican or Democrat,
doesn't matter.
President Trump has come in and he said, you know, we're going to have a power shift here. And they're fighting him because they don't want to give up their money, their
That's
power.
Right.
They have it all set up the way they want, both Republican and Democrat. And it's awfully hard to make that shift.
That's correct.
You know, and I think that, you know, and again, it goes back to, you know, the voting system's rigged. You know, we know that. We know we have a situation now where the counties are rising up. The people in the counties are rising up.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we have to have a situation where we can, at least with regulations and permits, we have to put ourselves in a position to where at the county level, those are controlled in a way to where it's conducive to the people. I mean, Chris Kellstrom did put it right. He said, you know, when people go in for a permit, they're the customer. So we're the vendor, they're the customer. How do we help them? How do we help them? Not how do we screw them? How do we get more money out of them? You know, and one other thing, too, that, you know, when you talk about regulations, permits, state mandates, laws, excessive number of agencies, when we have an assistant DA that stands in front of the board of supervisors and is complaining that the reason we don't have the DA's office is not working properly is they don't have enough money, and these poor guys have to start out at $127,000 a year. That's what he's saying. And on top of that, they get benefits, oh, by the way. And he said they can't afford to buy a house.
In Reading?
In Reading. Yeah, that's what this guy said at the Board of Supervisor meeting.
He's smoking
every
crack.
Every one of them got up there and complained about not making enough money. And it's kind of like Leslie Sawyer came on with Chris and Kevin this morning and made a very, very good point, and that is that, hey, all you hear about in these meetings, these law enforcement meetings, and how we're all going to get together is it boils down to, hey, we don't have enough cops, we don't have enough money, we don't have enough money, did I say we don't have enough money, we don't pay a good enough wage, we just don't have enough money. Did I say we don't have enough money? And we have a caller on the line, and that is Dolores.
Good morning, Dolores.
How are you, Dolores? Dolores, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just listening to what you have, you know, you guys are saying. You know, I find it very disturbing about what the Board of Supervisors did against the citizens, right? But my thing is, how I look at things is that we need to wake up and realize these Board of Supervisors, if they would have gotten away with what they did in filing a lawsuit against citizens, they would have done it. So we need to really think about, how are we going to continue to be aware that we're not going to allow these Board of Supervisors to continue to chip away our freedom of speech? Because that's what Kevin Cry, I've been saying it from the day he got elected. He, you know, we need to make sure that we're aware it's him who's in control. He is the one who's making decisions against the citizens. He's going against the citizens. And if we don't realize that, we're not going to be able to realize anything else that's going to come at us. And, well, you know, this is just one thing they were trying to do, to silence the citizens. But we also got to prepare for what's coming down the road. This is not just the first time they're going to do this.
Well,
it's like a criminal.
Hey,
you know,
Dolores,
like a criminal. Doesn't commit one crime, he's going to commit another.
There you go. Now, keep in mind, too, that they are trusting and relying on legal advice that they don't have. They don't have the legal knowledge, but they're trusting legal advice. And I believe the attorney was relying on legal advice, and they were all given the wrong advice. So
how was the attorney given the wrong advice?
Well, I'm just saying if he went searching for it, okay, he was given the wrong advice. If he didn't truly know all that,
he should have searched for it.
He should have searched for it. So wherever he got his information was inaccurate and wrong. So that I'm not giving them an excuse by any stretch. Please don't take it that way.
No.
I'm just saying wherever they're getting their information and they're relying on that to do everything that they've done and it was wrong, then we have to correct that. We have to figure that out and find out why that was wrong. And, you know, they need to work on that.
Yeah, but we can't always blame the person, like, well, who holds the license, too.
That's correct.
The Board of Supervisors have the power to make those decisions, and they also have an obligation to the citizens to do their own research. They can stop them. They can say, hey, you know what, this is unconstitutional. We can't do that. Maybe we ought to do something else. But they also have the power. So we can't just blame the attorney, but thank God that whatever the attorney did, it gave me the nail for the coffin for his license. I actually submitted a lot of complaints, especially with the state bar. He's not going to be able to say, oh, I made a mistake. Too late. He did it. So the proof is there. So I'm looking forward to the state bar sending me an email letting me know they will open an investigation.
Yeah, the state bar isn't exactly a pillar of integrity, Dolores.
And keep in mind, the state bar, the money that comes from the attorneys that pay to be a member of the bar, do you know where the money goes? The money goes to the crown. And right. Do you know who the crown is? England.
Well, so far right now I have 3 cases open against 3 attorneys. So I don't move. If you put your case together, if you know what evidence they will actually open up a case, I do, like I said, I have 3 cases right now open.
Dolores, remember though that this was a process and there were 2 sides to this issue. And both sides had the opportunity to make their case and to take it to court and present that case in court. And the judge made a determination as to which side was correct, and that worked. So now
right.
The issue is closed. 2 sides that disagreed have now been told how to resolve the issue. We are a system, a government of process, and it worked. So I don't think
right.
that we need to be filing lawsuits and turning in people for
sanctions
by the bar.
I don't think so. It's like a criminal. It commits a crime out there. You're going to give them a slap in the hand? Okay,
we're not
so
talking about a crime. We're talking about a disagreement on the issue. And I hate to see it taken to a legal level beyond what it already has been. It has been adjudicated by a judge. Case closed. Let's move on.
And the filing will probably be kicked out anyway.
I have serious doubts as to the initiative's constitutionality and legality, but it is the right of the people petition for a redress of grievances.
Well, I heard, and I don't have this really straight, but this is what I heard, you guys, that apparently the initiative can be, I'm going to have the wrong word, but it dissected to a degree. In other words, if there's things in the initiative that don't work.
Severability.
That's right. That's what I was looking for. There's severability in the initiative. So I'm reserving everything till I see what the initiative actually says when they're done with it. That's what I'm reserving. And as far as anything else goes, we've only got about 2 minutes left. And as far as everything else goes, I mean, you know, there's always going to be another fight. I don't really believe the bar is gonna help us. If maybe they will, maybe they will, but you know, we'll have to see. But anyway, Dolores,
thank you.
Thank you for the call. Good call.
Well,
and
just a side note: the state of California, in its constitution, requires all of the attorneys to be a member of the bar,
right.
Which is a private corporation.
Right.
In the state of Jefferson Constitution, it is not mandatory that you be a member of the bar. In fact, you can't be.
There you go.
That's right. That means that Wynn and Janet are going to be co-counsels.
Yeah, no, right.
Like I'd want that job.
Ditto.
No, I already have my job all lined out. In
yes, ma'am.
Jefferson.
You do. Yes. I know. Mama Jefferson, that's for sure. We'll talk about that in one of these
episodes.
We'll
yeah.
get
she
to
has,
it.
That's a pretty cool one. That's a really cool part about the Jefferson Constitution. Let's put that in our...
It's number 2 on my list.
But we only got 2 minutes.
Oversight. No, we're not getting to it.
No, I want to get to that.
But when you look at constitutional oversight, there will be, in brackets, Janet Chandler's job.
I'm laughing because I know what it says. It's perfect for her.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
So, yeah, I you know, I think that as we go on here, Janet, I mean, yeah, we need to, you know, both sides, the people won. This one?
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to proceed with however we can keep us together
exactly.
in unity.
Couldn't agree more.
Don't divide us.
Right.
Don't file lawsuits.
Let sleeping dogs lie at this
yeah,
point.
I yep. think that our Larmer was in error in filing a lawsuit, but he found out that he was not in the right.
Yeah.
So now we don't file against him in the bar, and we don't try to do things. We move on.
We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we're learning. It's a learning curve. None of the rest of us knew about this, right, and how to handle it. And so we have to learn as we go. And you have growing pains, and that was part of it. So we cannot divide the group, if you will, you know, everybody that we work with and have worked with and we like and we know that they're doing the right things as much as they can possibly do that
yeah,
here in the state of California.
Chris Kelstrom and Kevin Cry both want everything that is in that initiative.
That's correct.
That's why time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. Don't serve us, you serve LA. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson.